The wages of sin is today's topic, taken from Romans chapter 6, verses 21 to 23. Verse 21 says, "What fruit had ye then in those things which ye are now ashamed of? For the end of those things is death." The Apostle Paul is urging the Christians in Rome to choose to live holy lives. Sin causes shame. And when Adam and Eve disobeyed God and ate of the forbidden fruit, they were guilt-ridden. They realized that they were naked, and they sowed fig trees to cover their shame, yet it did not soothe their conscience. This was God's warning to them before they fell into sin, God said in Genesis 2:17. "But the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." See, God's word is very clear. And oftentimes we can often choose to disobey. But we pay a price. Indeed, Adam and Eve did not escape God's judgment for sin. Physical death and spiritual death befell them. And the Apostle Paul is reminding the Christians in Rome that the way of sin has dire consequences. Right? A terrible price to pay. Do not go that way now that you have been freed. And the Lord is very clear. And oftentimes we don't seem to be able to understand and see the spiritual significance. We think that we still want to go our own way. That was the way that I did in the past, and therefore this is good. That's tradition, that's not God's word. Right? What we have done in the past may not be the right thing, and we don't teach it to the next generation to do the wrong things also. And so let us be very careful. Indeed, Adam and Eve did not escape God's judgment for sin. Physical death and spiritual death befell them. The Apostle Paul is reminding the Christians in Rome that the way of sin has dire consequences, a terrible price to pay. Do not go that way now that you have been freed. The Apostle Paul provided a clear warning to awaken the reader, he says. "Therefore, whosoever heareth this thing, sayings of mine, and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell not. For it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand, and the rain came, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house, and it fell, and great was the fall of it." How sad it is to think that we are building our spiritual life, and think that we know what we are doing, and after that, to suffer for it. May God help us to yield to the teaching of His Word for our eternal spiritual benefit. After we have been saved, then the Lord says in verse 22, "But now, being freed from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and unto the end everlasting life." You have been freed from sin, and you have become servants to God, and ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life. Well, here the Lord is saying to us that if we choose to follow Him, continue to walk with Him, then we will bear fruit. But if we choose to cut short our own blessing, as it were, then what do we say? There is nothing more that the Lord is able to give. What a wonderful prospect for the Christian. He serves the living and true God. He no longer serves sin. And his life bears witness for God because God's character is formed in him. He bears the fruit of holiness. And the end of his life's journey is eternal blessing. And Jesus described for us the blessing of such a one. Jesus says, "Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me." Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, "Lord, when saw we thee and hungered, and fed thee, or thirsty, and gave thee drink? Or when saw we thee a stranger, and took thee in, or naked, and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison, and came unto thee?" And the king shall answer and say unto them, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me." There is much that God has laid upon our hands to do to serve him. And he tells us that we serve him by serving the people God brings into our lives. Who are the people that God brings into your life? And what good do we do in the name of Jesus for the brethren? God will reward. And God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love that you showed towards his name, and that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. Of course, it is a painstaking thing. Right? As you do the work, you realize that there are those who would listen and those who would not listen. And what do you do? Well, you pray for them and ask God to work in their heart. Perchance there would be a conversion. Perchance there would be a change. Then, well, we praise the Lord for it. And, well, we said this, that the Lord is in charge and he is in control. And what we can do is to trust him and to seek to do his will. Verse 23a says, "For the wages of sin is death." The wages of sin, you know, we work, we receive our wages. Right? But here it says, the wages of sin. That means to do the things that is not pleasing in the sight of God is death. And safety is in absolute separation, even from any appearance of evil. There is a heavy price to pay in meddling with sin. And it results in God's judgment. You see, when Israel went into the land, God told them that every 6 years they till the land, every seventh year they are to let the land lay fallow. And 6 years when they till the land, they trusted the Lord to provide for them. But the seventh year, the Lord says that they are to take a rest. Why did God command the seventh year? God commanded seventh year in order that the people of God may trust him. You see, Israel, when they went into the land and God prospered them, they neglected to obey the Lord. When they trusted the Lord, God blessed them. Right? Because, you see, if we use our own hands to work, we are going to depend on ourselves, you know. But the Lord says, purposely ask them to stop. Why did God ask them to stop? Let the land go fallow. Because they can learn to trust the Lord. Because that's where they learn to obey the Lord, to trust the Lord to provide for them. Do you trust the Lord to provide for you? As you work, it's easy for us to think that, you know, it is our own might and our own strength that give us our wealth. It is not from the Lord. And it is easy for us to, you know, think that we can use our energy and think that, you know, we can do that and we would be able to succeed. They were wrong. Israel was wrong. God deported Israel out of the promised land because they failed the Lord. They did not get the rest that they needed. They disobeyed the Lord. And because of that, they were deported out of the land for 70 years. 70 years is a long time, you know. Because they missed 77 years of Sabbath when the land is supposed to till. You see, when you obey the Lord gives us a 1 in 7 days where we said you trust the Lord not to work. What does it mean to us? Well, it is rest to us. But what else does it teach us? Well, it teaches us to trust the Lord, to have faith in God and not in our own strength. And we must learn this lesson. Because if we fail, which Israel failed, you see, Israel failed to learn the lesson. And that's where, you know, they realize that their livelihood is in their own hands. It's not in the hands of God. And therein lies the snare. And before long, they realize that, hey, how come, you know, they don't have the energy to carry on? Well, because God was not in the equation of their work life, you see. They do it on their own strength. And they run over time, over steam. And at the end, they break down. This was Israel. We have a history for us to learn. And this church camp, we are going to learn about the history of the nation of Israel. You see. If we don't learn from the lessons, then we are going to repeat it in our own lives. And who is going to suffer? We are going to suffer. When Israel first entered into the land, the tribes of Israel failed to destroy the idolatrous nations as instructed by the Lord. The idolatrous influences of the remnant nations were too overwhelming for the weak faith of this new generation that arose after Joshua. The failure to obey God's instructions fully results in utter failure in just one generation. How difficult it is to build and how easy it is to destroy. When they were, because they did not get rid of their enemies, when the enemies became strong and when they became weak, they were in trouble. If we have not get rid of the sin that is within us, it's going to come and, you know, cause trouble again in our lives. So the Lord says to us, and for the people of Israel, the idolatrous influence of the remnant nations were too overwhelming for the weak faith of this new generation. So the new generation came up, they utterly failed. How come? Why is it like that? Because there was one generation that did not follow God's word. It was not passed down. The word of God was not passed down. And he said, the word of God is given to us to protect our souls from the wickedness of this world. It is like traffic rules. As a motorist, observing traffic rules means to stop when the light turns amber and finally red to allow pedestrians to cross. The law protects the users. The pedestrian, therefore, crossed the road in safety. Similarly, when we fail to avoid the pitfalls of life taught to us in the scriptures, we are, as it were, blown up by the mines in the minefield of this wicked world. We are like in a war zone, you know. We are living in a war zone. Perhaps a hand or a leg is blown off, causing a lifetime of disability and regrets. As the old saying goes, holiness is not inability to sin, but ability not to sin. And God wants us to have the strength to follow and to obey, you see. The freedom that we have as born-again Christians is within the boundaries of God's word. Why did God have to give us His word? Why did God have to share with us 6 days, 1 day rest? Why is it that 6 years, 1 year rest? Why is it that God had to teach all these things? Because God knows how much we can take. God knows how much we are able to handle. And so the freedom that we have as born-again Christians is within the boundaries of God's word. The word of God sets the boundary for our protection. Just like our parents set the curfew hours, that we are not to come home after a certain time. When we obey, we are protected. When we disobey, we expose ourselves to the dangers of this wicked world, waiting to devour our very souls. So may the Lord protect us by His grace from the ravages of sin. Verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We must continue to struggle against sin in our life. That's why we need to study the Word of God. For our encouragement, the Scripture gives to us in the book of Job the earliest recorded writing of Scripture. A man of God, Job. Job 1:1 says, he was a man living in the land of Uz, and he was in the sight of God perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed or hate evil. Right? The word perfect does not mean sinless perfection, but the word means holiness. He was a man who walked with God, who made right with God by that close communion with God. He made right with God and he interceded for his children daily. God himself pronounced him perfect. For the overcomer, the Lord Jesus Christ promised eternal life. And this is God's gift through Jesus Christ for every man of God. He knows that he's not struggling alone, but God is with him to provide him the grace to live victoriously and to lay claim on eternal life. So in Pilgrim's Progress, Christians came to the fireplace. He saw a man pouring water over the fire, but the fire does not extinguish. The Christian was brought back to the fireplace. Then he saw a man pouring oil. And the man that was pouring oil was behind the fireplace, cannot be seen. But the man pouring the water was right in the front, seeking to extinguish the flame of life. Well, this is like our spiritual life, you see. You'll find that on the one hand, Satan will work like a devouring lion over time to cause you to stumble and fall. But the Lord is going to help you, right, to make it, because He is behind there providing the oil. Right? So if we have been with the Lord, we belong to Him. His grace will not depart from us. He will not depart from us, but He will help us through. But for our part, we need to hear the Word of God and we need to be able to obey and submit. This year, we are going for our camp, as usual. 4 days, 3 nights. Why is it that the church gather for an extended period of time to study the Word of God? Because our adult Sunday school, this 45 minutes every week, is just not enough to help us in our spiritual life. And how do we get ourselves into this? You know, that means to be able to grow more by having time together, unbroken. You see, if we don't take time for reflection, take time to take stock of our life, we are going to run over, you know, we said overrun. And when we overrun, then you would find that the breakdown will come. And the Lord doesn't want us to live that kind of a life. The Lord wants us to be able, right, to take time off, to pray, to seek the Lord, to study His Word. And, you know, it may not be a natural thing for us. Of course it's not. This was not in our previous life, you see. But it is new, and the Lord is seeking for us to follow Him, to walk with Him, to be willing to pay a price, to walk with God. So, how can we make progress? Well, we said that we need to be willing to take time and change, renew our mind. Yes, it is sometimes not easy because we have been in a mold already for a long time, you see. And to change, the resistance will be there. But when it is for our good, when it is beneficial for our soul, then we need to seriously consider. We don't want to suffer loss. And, you know, it is sad. Right? It is sad, right, to see and to observe, in the life of God's people, right, how the spiritual weakening goes in a step-by-step slippery slope. And then to be hurt. You see, it's better to give a warning than later to receive and save the hurt. Right? After you are hurt, sometimes the scars cannot be recovered quickly. Sometimes it's for a lifetime. And so the Lord is saying to us, let us think. Let us think. And you know, the church camp is a time where families can come together. Husband and wife can come together to reconsecrate to the Lord, to spend time to read the Word of God, to consecrate our lives to God, as it were, a renewal, because we spend time uninterrupted. 7 days. May the Lord help us. We have escaped the wages, as it were, of sin through our Lord Jesus Christ. But to continue to live victoriously, we must yield ourselves to the Spirit of God. We cannot, you know, choose to walk the life with God and still want to live our own way. It just doesn't work. And so we pray that God may be gracious to help us to seriously take stock, take time. You know, the fig tree that Jesus saw, first year didn't bear fruit. Second year didn't bear fruit. Third year didn't bear fruit. How long? Well, should the tree be cut down? The question was asked. Should the tree be cut down? It's not bearing fruit. Well, let's give it a little bit more time. May God be gracious. May God be merciful. May the Lord help us to tarry with Him, continue to persevere until we see fruit. Let us pray. Father, we thank Thee for Your word. Thank Thee for Your mercy. Strengthen us by Your grace. This I pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.